2017 Mill Creek Planning Commission. May we have a roll call, please?
Chair Stan Eisner.
Present.
Vice Chair Matthew Nolan.
Present.
Commissioner Stephen Maloney. Commissioner Jared Mead. Commissioner Daniel Mills.
Here.
Commissioner Jennifer Parker.
Here.
Commissioner Dennis Keshlaw.
Here.
Thank you. I get to introduce one half of the new team, the two members of our commission. Jennifer Parker has joined us, and would you like to tell us something about yourself? And
sure. So my name is Jennifer Parker, and I moved to this community almost exactly 2 years ago. My boyfriend and I bought a house in Heatherwood, and have enjoyed living there, so close to the school and the areas around there where we can walk with our dogs. And anyway, so we were interested in the parks because of our pets, you know, places to take them. And then somehow I don't know, I ended up reading about this, and it was something I was interested in. I've studied stormwater. I produced a video on it. I studied low-impact development. I was part of community development courses in my undergraduate, and I have a brother who is a master planner. And I used to work for an architecture firm where they did master planning, and had to consider, of course, low-impact development as part of their architecture or master planning infrastructure.
Thank you. We'll have to wait for Stephen to come so we can introduce and give him a shot. So let's move ahead, if we may. Next item on our agenda is election of officers, opening for a chairperson and a vice chair. So let's start with the chair. Are there nominations, please?
Nominate Mr. Stan Eisner, if you willingly accept.
I second that.
I will accept. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And for vice chair? I would nominate our current vice chair, Mr. Noli.
Second that.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And we are up and running. The next item on the agenda are the minutes of it's been so long I have to look at the date. February 18th, 2016. No wonder you all look like strangers. You had a chance to read them. I will entertain a motion to approve them.
I will make a motion to approve the meeting minutes of February 18th, 2016.
Thank you, Dennis.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Hey, here we are at a public hearing. This is a public hearing for the commission to review and recommend to the City Council municipal code changes to municipal code chapters 12.18, 15.12, 15.14, 16.2, 16.4, 16.6, 16.12, 17.1, and introducing changes to 1724. Start with opening the public hearing and ask the staff to make their presentation.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, Planning Commission, and welcome for our first meeting of 2017. I'm Christy Amrine, Senior Planner. For the record, there is no audience present here this evening. I will go ahead and start the public hearing. With the purpose of the public hearing is to take and receive public testimony and have a Planning Commission recommendation to the City Council. To my knowledge, I do not have any additional written public testimony for the record, and I'll turn to look at our city engineer and ask him if he's received any today.
I have not.
He has not. Okay. So for the record, no additional written testimony has been received.
Thank you.
Within your packet, you have the draft resolution number 164, along with the staff report, and then we'll be submitting this PowerPoint presentation will become part of the record, and then any public testimony should anyone present. So here's the order of the public hearing. This is just standard. We have it up on the screen in case things get a little wild and crazy and we lose track of where we're at. So followed by the staff presentation, there's public testimony. We close the public hearing. Then there's deliberations followed by recommendation by the Planning Commission. So the City of Mill Creek, our code amendment process, it contains provisions. A code change can be either initiated by the City Council, Planning Commission, or staff. In this case, the LID amendments before you this evening are required by the state, the Department of Ecology, to comply with the Western Washington Phase 2, our municipal stormwater permit. So staff has initiated these in order to be in compliance. We were working throughout the year in 2016, and there is a summary within the staff report that talks about the history of it. It has been to council before. I think it was back in
2009.
So it's been around a while, and we've worked on it a while, and here's our final proposal to Planning Commission. So after the public hearing this evening and we have a recommendation from the Planning Commission, it will go to the City Council for action. So the purpose of the amendments before you this evening is to have low-impact development, the required approach to managing stormwater where feasible, and that would apply citywide. The revisions before you this evening, as the chair noted, reflect throughout multiple chapters within the city's development regulations. And the purpose is to minimize impervious surface, native vegetation loss, stormwater runoff, and all types of development situations. In addition, we are required to adopt the latest manual, which will be the 2012 manual, and it will replace the one we're currently operating in, which is the 2005. And I just included a picture of a type of low-impact development for parking lot, just for some graphic interest in the PowerPoint presentation. So the bulk of the amendments before you this evening require verbiage change throughout the code. Housekeeping per se. They replace the word encouraging to require where feasible. It references the new stormwater manual, the 2012, instead of the 2005. In addition, we include some text in there that reflect current practices that weren't currently reflected in the code, and also some of the permit language that Department of Ecology requires. And we also have proposing to update our standard plans, which is used for development throughout the city and developers. I'm going to be giving just the global presentation, and then I will turn it over to Scott for any technical questions. I would like to point out that there were a couple little typos. If you've caught them in your thing, great. If not, we have corrected those. There's just three of them. So if you so desire tonight, if you can't sleep, you can look to find those. But we corrected those, and they will move forward being corrected to City Council.
And that's in the resolution, not in the staff?
It is in the resolution. Mm-hmm. That is correct. Pages 7, 8, and 9, if you want a tip. The resolution before you, staff is recommending approval. And with that, I'd like to open this up for comments and questions for the Planning Commission, for myself, and City Engineer Scott Smith.
I have one.
Okay.
page 3, under section 1, number 3, under the proposed amendments in the red line area. So replacing the final restoration shall use, and instead of the hot mix asphalt, it replaces that with patching material similar to existing. Wonder, is it appropriate to have, I guess I don't really like the word similar, because it's not, it's kind of wide open versus what was there was something. Here's exactly what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. I get you'd want to have it to match rather. So
yeah.
Is it appropriate to have something like add in maybe like similar in quality or composition or something that just does a little more?
Replaced in kind?
Yeah, this was one that we kind of struggled with, and admittedly, the wording is a little bit awkward. Just as a little bit more background, this had gone through an initial presentation and discussion with the City Council a week ago, just to kind of get their input on the changes as well. And this came up at that meeting. Really, at that meeting, the intent was more, they were wondering about the intent. And really, the intent is if you're doing a patch in some existing permeable pavement, you need to put it back the same way. But we could definitely, we're open to suggestions on the wording. I like in kind, that's a good suggestion. So that's kind of the point of the hearing tonight. We're open to suggestions if you have a better way to phrase something.
I figured when I read it, I bet this was probably argued over or at least discussed, because it's a tough one to come up with. You know, I'm sure the intent is so.
And it's always tough to kind of wordsmith by committee, too.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, I'm good with anything that is just to. It's hard to, because you don't want to use the word match, because it's not going to match.
No.
Right? It's never going to look, yeah, well, that
things
doesn't
fade
match.
Over time.
Right. So that's why I was thinking is of, you know, quality or composition, but in kind says the same thing. So anything along those lines, I'm good with.
Any other suggestions? Or are we good with in kind?
In kind.
Okay. Thank you for that recommendation.
Equal. No. On page 5, there is an addition. It says, unless otherwise approved by the city engineer. Has the city attorney looked at this? Does he consider that to be too open-ended?
I believe, I'm not sure if the city attorney has looked at it or not. Oh, yes, I know he has,
because
he was
has.
At the, I'm sorry, he was at the city council meeting on last week, so of course he has. I think this is actually fairly typical of our other language around the code. We're trying to be a little bit flexible because not all of our regulations apply to every situation. So we'd like to throw in that caveat language just to allow the flexibility to exercise a little bit of common sense and judgment at our discretion. That's one of the nice things about being a small agency where we can do that.
Just so the city attorney doesn't believe that that leaves us vulnerable to not performing.
No. No, in fact, in past similar code revisions, he's actually kind of wanted us to put this language in just to allow for that flexibility, because it's tough to do a one-size-fits-all for everything.
That satisfies me. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I ask on page 4, the section 2, talking about flexibility, it says the sections related to permit exemptions, and it says excavations required for installation of public improvements. I would assume that includes excavation by the city crews. And do we have another exception in code, or are we now going to require our city crews to, when they do public improvements, get a grading permit?
Well, I think the city crew, the work the city crew would be doing would be more in kind of the category of maintenance. And really the one of the thresholds, triggers for, sorry, I've had too much cold medicine today. I'm not quite together yet. The trigger for requiring a grading permit is 50 cubic yards.
Okay,
so that's something that our crews wouldn't be doing. If we were doing a city capital improvement project, we would still be doing some type of clearing, grading permit, or plan review. The purpose of this is to make that plan review the review and approval mechanism for the stormwater and erosion control improvements. So before, if you read this before, technically, if a developer was doing public improvements, building a public road, they were exempt from doing a clearing grading permit, and it was kind of a gap in our process. So that's what we were trying to fix.
We eliminated the loophole, per se.
Yeah.
But like when Puget Sound Energy comes in to do new underground power lines and exceeds 50 cubic yards, they now have to get a permit.
Yeah.
Fine with it. I just wanted to make sure that the crews weren't caught.
Yes.
Can I ask one other question? On page 11, item B, it says pavers or stepping stones were, they were previously encouraged, and now they're required in parking lot landscape islands. Now, I understand protecting the plant materials, but now we're requiring developers to put in a hardened surfacing in what would be an impermeable or permeable area, so I just wasn't quite sure if, you know, I understand the necessity there, but I wasn't sure I'd be requiring people to put stepping stones in.
Yeah, that's a good point, and I might kind of throw this back to Christy a little bit for discussion. The intent of that is to try and keep people from trampling the vegetation.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
And the dirt erosion, or if they have rocks in there, if they, we've had some areas where we've used a, I guess you can call it a low-impact design landscaping where they have river rock. We have pedestrians who like to cut through. We didn't have stepping stones. Whether it's in here or not, I don't think that's, it could be, it's really in design review board. I think it could be covered, so.
Yeah. And maybe the required part is too strong in this location.
Yeah.
I think you may want to stick with the encourage there, because you'd want to, the ideal design is people aren't cutting through
right.
the paving.
Right.
Exactly.
This isn't necessarily a make or break in the low-impact development world. This is really just to try and protect the vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in this location we go back to encourage rather than require.
And I like the second required for permeable surfaces, but the first required, I thought.
And we can always catch that as a case-by-case basis through design review board also.
Yeah, I think a big part of that in design review is you know, the size and the shape of those. You know, when they're small and short and it's easy to walk around, then you tend to not get people trampling through them. But if they're long and, oh, hey, we've got to get our requirement in, so let's just dig this big, long thing. We're going to plant a bunch of trees. That's probably when you want to encourage, hey, put some in every 20 feet because, you know, or come back in 6 months and you'll find out where you need to put them because people will be walking.
Right, yeah,
through, right?
I mean, that's path, yeah.
People walk.
Yeah, where people walk.
Okay, so we will revert that one back to encouraged.
Yeah.
And I know there's not a whole lot of changes.
Yeah, just as a general comment, Christy alluded to this a little bit, but we did, I think our scope of work was a lot less than other agencies.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't unique in Mill Creek. Every agency has to go through and do this as a requirement of the NPDES permit. A lot of agencies have had a much bigger task because they didn't do the initial groundwork that we had done back in 2009. We had a consultant that we, I think, got as part of a grant program. And we went through a pretty extensive review of the code and discussion with the Planning Commission and then the City Council to incorporate a lot of low-impact development language that's in here already. At that point, I think the Planning Commission wanted to have it all required. At that point, the City Council went back and changed it to encouraged. So now we're really just kind of going back to the original point and going to requirement because that's now part of the stormwater permit. So on our end, we didn't include it. We did also have to do kind of review of the code just in general as to what all could be changed. And we actually have this 11-page spreadsheet matrix. We have to go through and document and then provide this to the Department of Ecology of everything we looked at. And it's 11, like I said, an 11-page spreadsheet, and most of it is things that we looked at and doesn't need to change because we already did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the summary of it. So really our changes are really relatively minimal, but we do have a lot of documentation that, yes, we looked at this and it's okay. We already meet a lot of the LID intent.
Yeah. We've just been through this process now, as Scott said, since 2009. We've done our documentation, and now here we are formalizing it.
Yeah. And the other thing to keep in mind, a lot of standard Mill Creek practices were already kind of considered LID. We were kind of doing LID stuff before LID was cool, just in terms of how much native vegetation we require, you know, the wider buffers, critical areas, trying to minimize impervious surfaces. We have relatively narrow roads, which helps stormwater impacts. So a lot of stuff that they they're kind of requiring now or are new, we've already been doing for as long as I've been here. So that was another thing where it wasn't as big of an effort for us as it would have been for other agencies.
I had some emails beforehand with Scott, and I got my question answered then, so.
Yeah, thank you for emailing your questions. We appreciate that.
Okay.
Jennifer? Yeah, I had just a couple of minor things that I noticed as I was going out. What is the, and I do have a journalism background. So,
okay.
A couple are grammatical. What is the correct usage of LID? Is it spelled out with lowercase or uppercase letters? Your presentation has uppercase.
Oh, the low impact development? That's a very good question. Typically, I've seen it both ways.
Yeah, typically I've seen it more prevalent as all caps.
Okay. So it was inconsistent throughout the document, so I just wanted to make a note of that.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And then also that the commission, and this is something that can go either way, but in the verbs that are after the word commission, they vary from being singular to plural. And it can be singular or plural depending on how you're referring to the commission.
Okay.
If you're referring to the commission as just an entity and not personal, then it would be singular. If you're referring to it as a group of people, then you would make it plural. But again, it's just an inconsistency that I noticed. On page 6, I may be wrong because I'm not familiar with the terminology in code, but variance is spelled with an E. Under section 7, is it supposed to be spelled that way? I don't know.
It's going to flip there. And I'll
That's spelled wrong.
That's spelled right?
No, that's wrong.
Oh, okay. It
should be A.
Okay. And then on page 7, another wording question under the last paragraph, section 12, if we are changing the language to say required instead of encouraged, the last paragraph still uses the language encouraged. But it does seem like it might be different circumstances, so I didn't know if that was meant to remain encouraged.
That was page 11?
I'm sorry, page 7.
Page 7. Okay.
The last paragraph in the second line. Bioretention facilities are encouraged when site and soil conditions make lead feasible.
You are correct. That should be required.
Be required. Yeah. Thank you. Good catch.
Yeah. And then you mentioned the typos that have already been corrected, and there was one on page 12 that it refers to in the section 6. The date is December 2017. It should be 2016. The second date mentioned in section 6. Nothing of significance, but just things that, like I said, my training has called out.
Oh, that's awesome. Since we touched on that section, I'll kind of point out one of the kind of little typo things that Christy brought up. On page 7, section 12, on that last paragraph where we had the encourage instead of required, there's that kind of the awkward language where it's low volume, low traffic surfaces. We're changing that to low traffic volume. That's what we kind of meant to put. It was one of those kind of committee things. We're trying to match some of the language in the ecology manual, but it just was kind of confusing and awkward. So it should be okay just to say low traffic volume. That's what we meant.
And is that based on the current technology that the permeable surface is really not up to remaining permeable if it has a high amount of traffic on it?
To some extent, yeah. And the amount of kind of pollutants that fall off cars. And there are some actual thresholds in the Department of Ecology manual as to what classifies as a low volume, like how many cars a day. So, and it kind of varies on the use. So it's kind of a general description statement, you know, parking lot versus 164th Street, high, low kind of thing. But the intent is to try and do it in areas where you have relatively few cars, so you have relatively few pollutants dropping down into it.
Right, so it remains pervious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any of the commissioners catch anything else?
No, just the one comment I think has already been made. In about a third of the places, the letters LID are in parentheses, and in the rest of them, the letters LID are capitalized, but not in parentheses.
Mm.
At the head of one paragraph, it actually spells out low impact development, but doesn't do it anyplace else.
We will go through and
take a look at that
and snuff things
check
up
for consistency.
Mm-hmm. Better to me which one is right, as long as we're consistent.
So on the was one of the typos in section 2C, page 4?
No.
Well, so with no more E or D, then C becomes the last, so that should just end in a period, right?
Yes.
Then in section 3, it ends in a colon, yet A and B have been stricken, so shouldn't that end in a period? Right below that on page 4?
Page 4, section 3?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, probably so.
Colon A, B, but there is no more A and B, so that's just the end of the sentence, right?
Yeah, correct. Done. Period. Yeah, some of those, yeah, with the strikeout. Thank you.
I write things all day long, and I still have my paralegal find things that I've rewritten and read over 10 times is still like, unless
6 months goes by, there's something.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of times you need an outside eye because you read this so many times.
Too many times.
On autopilot.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's my excuse, too. Okay, are there any other comments, questions, or? Good. Then close the public hearing. And I think we can look at the resolution number 2017-164, and we'll read it by title, title only. That is a resolution of the City of Mill Creek Planning Commission recommending approval to the Mill Creek City Council of amendments to the Mill Creek Municipal Code chapters 1218, 1512, 1514, 162, 166, 1612, 1724, 27, 1734.
Did you catch 1701?
And 1604.
1604 and 17, right, okay. Do I have a motion to that effect, please?
I'd motion we accept the, or we recommend the resolution as
corrected,
modified or corrected in today's meeting.
Have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the resolution by title only. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That does it. Are there any matters for the good of the order? Tom didn't come tonight.
Yeah, he's out of the office. Well, I just want to say thank you all for taking the time and reading everything through in detail and catching everything. And then as far as meeting next month, I'm not sure yet.
Yes. 11 months is a long time.
Development updates or anything?
This half hour once a year is getting to be too much.
Hopefully a little more. We actually do have some code amendments on the books to come forward. We do. We have several. So we're looking forward to bringing those to you. We don't have a solid schedule yet on when they'll be here, but we do have them. There are some development updates. Arena Sports goes to public hearing on January 25th.
That is at the corner of Dumas and Everett.
And you'll see that's just north of Mill Creek Sports Card Building, which is being constructed right there by the gas station on 527, the two-story brick building. It'll be kind of a nice flagship building as you enter.
Which way is north? So from where the sports card building is, where's the arena sports going to be?
Behind the gas station.
Yeah,
behind the gas station.
Yeah, between the gas station and the Gateway Shopping Center there. It used for those.
So is that rundown house behind the gas station? That's still there.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the site.
Oh, that will be gone.
Yeah.
Clean that up.
Arena Sports is going to be part of that.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
6.73 acres behind.
Yeah, it goes all the way back to the Ribbondale condos.
Yeah, okay.
Everything but the gas station, basically, if I
essentially, and the little duplexes it's there along Dumas Road.
Okay, those stayed as well. Okay, I wasn't sure.
So they'll have a shared access drive with Gateway Shopping Center. That's what's proposed.
That's
How much between the shopping center and Arena Sports? Will there be any green? No, it's going to be a one big parking lot?
We got a presentation.
Have a shirt in.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
you might as well. It's also on the city's website. I'd like to point out there is a public hearing, so it's all accessible.
For those that have been in the city a long time, it's the old Clint Carnell property.
Whoops, wrong one. Other one. Okay. So we're just going to boost this up. So here's Gateway Shopping Center. Here's the existing site. Here's Rivendell Condos. This is Monterra. Here's the gas station. So then if you were to look at the site plan on what it looks like, we have two access points. This one comes off of Dumas Road, sidewalk on the east. This will be expansion of the existing driveway with Gateway Shopping Center to provide access into Arena Sports. Parking in the rear, one bay of parking here near the residential, wetland buffer here, parking, large building. Here's what the draft elevations look like that went to DRB a little over an hour ago.
Is it tilt up?
It's pre-engineered.
Isn't it metal panels. Building?
Oh, it's a steel building? Steel. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Can I ask if there's been any movement on it since we're good to the order on Gateway?
The adjacent shopping center?
Yeah.
Any tenant info?
They've done some improvements with the landscaping out there in hopes of securing some tenants.
But I don't think there's anything definite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing solid yet, but they're working on it.
So no change in zoning or anything to...
No change in the zoning.
That's been requested.
Tenants or anything? Oh, okay.
Nope. Yeah.
Safeway building?
Yeah.
That's the Safeway. They're looking at potentially two tenants in there. What they're thinking. So as soon as we hear something solid, you'll know or see it in the paper. But they are cleaning up the site in anticipation of
beneficial to that space. So.
This is kind of what it looks like, just to give you an idea of the informal design review board application. They're just pretty low-key. It'll be nice. It'll be a good draw. It'll provide an amenity and entertainment that we currently don't have here.
What's the interior? Is it going to be just soccer, or is it going to be multi-use?
Multi-use indoor soccer fields primarily, with a party room, laser tag, bouncy house, eating, drinking establishment.
Don't they have a bowling alley?
Bowling alley.
It said that in the paper, yes.
Yes.
Oh, no kidding.
Bowling alley's there.
The indoor family entertainment center.
Basically.
More than the one that's in Redmond.
Yes.
The one in Redmond's just some soccer fields.
Correct. In fact, tonight the applicant was discussing on changing the sign to say Arena Sports and Entertainment Complex is what they were thinking.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what's going on there.
Any questions about, we have a lot of development under construction in various spaces. Any questions about what's going on out there or status of it?
Business in particular, but fixing the 35th, flooding.
Oh, that is city assist. That's me.
Yeah, oh, that is your deal. Okay. So I read somewhere or heard somewhere that once that begins, the 35th will be closed from Seattle Hill to 132nd. Is that?
Close. It'll really be closed fully between 144th, which is southern entrance to Highland Trails, and the first entrance into the North Point development, I think 139th. So it's about a 1,000-foot stretch that'll be closed. It'll be kind of local access to get up there, but for through traffic, it'll be completely closed. And then the detour route will be around Seattle Hill Road and 132nd Street.
Right, okay.
So that's why we kind of have to stage it a little bit with the county project. The county is actually going to undertake a project to widen and reconstruct Seattle Hill Road between 35th and 132nd. So since our project is a detour route for them and vice versa. We got to wait till they're done before we do our project.
Okay, and that's what I had heard too. So then it'll be now. Will the closing of it like be done with school summertime? I just think with Mill Creek Elementary right there, that's going to.
Yeah, I think it'll. We're still kind of refining the construction techniques and schedule and what we have to do. We're hung up on a little bit with the Army Corps of Engineers right now, which could affect kind of the scope of the project. But ultimately, it'll be a fairly extensive closure for several months. So it's one of the things we have to do a bunch of communication and outreach and let people know so they can plan accordingly. But it's a little tough to plan around, you know, some school schedules with that big of a window.
Gotcha. Okay. And what is actually being done?
Yeah, what we're going to do, good question. For that 1,000-foot stretch of roadway between 144th and 139th, I think it is, or maybe it's 141st. But anyway, we're going to – that's the section that's over a really deep section of peat and is continually sinking. So we're actually going to use the existing roadway as a working platform, kind of drill a bunch of holes and drive a bunch of pin piles down through the peat to solid bearing, and then pour kind of a concrete slab on top of that – so it's kind of effectively a bridge, but it's on top of a roadway, and then kind of build an elevated road profile on top of that reinforced concrete slab.
Gotcha. Okay.
So basically, it's a little bit the most expensive option, but it will fix the problem for future settlement, and we won't have to deal with this again. We did a big alternative analysis to look at various things we could do. There were some things that were probably less expensive, but it would still be kind of a long-term settlement issue. And we just want to solve the problem and be done.
Any idea how deep those piles are going to be?
Yeah, in the deepest locations there, I think about 40 feet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, the right where that creek crossing is the deepest section.
Yeah, I bet. It's the deepest now when the water comes.
It's not in the city technically, but on 128th.
Mm-hmm.
You're way ahead of me.
The roller coaster there at the
is that
parking ride.
Is that what's sinking?
No, there it's over garbage.
That's the land. That used to be Snohomish County's landfill.
Yeah.
Oh. You know by McCollum there?
Yeah.
That was
the county's landfill. Yeah.
Yeah, it has a methane production system.
Yeah, if you drive by at night, you can see the eternal flame there.
Where? Which side? The park and ride side or the driving range side?
There's kind of like a big pond. There's a little building there off on the side.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
We had that kind of an issue. We closed a landfill in Burbank, California, and turned it into a golf course. And if you flipped your cigarette into the grass while you went to go hit your ball, flame would shoot up.
When was that all? Or like when? When did that all? When was?
Yeah, I used to know that because we had to deal with that with the Dumas Road project. There's a big liner over it, and there are signs all over. You can't dig in there because you'll hit the landfill liner that's only 18 inches down. I honestly can't remember.
Didn't they close it about 1955 or something like that?
Oh,
like
okay. So we're higher.
Yeah,
way back.
Yeah, the Collins Park in the early 90s, late 80s, something like that. And that's when they did the liner and the rehab of that area. Yeah. Did the methane collection.
So whose responsibility is that to smooth that out
for
someday?
The road.
Yeah,
that's actually the state. That's the state highway. It's SR-96. And the state's approach to it, which is really like the worst thing you can do, is just keep putting more asphalt on top. Keep paving it, which adds more weight, which makes it sink faster. So there's probably 10 feet of asphalt on there or something at this point.
Yeah, the last time they did it, it was level for about a week and a half.
Yeah, and then I was like, why did they do it? Because it's still...
First time I hit that, I thought I was going to get sick.
Yeah, it's fun driving now.
Yeah.
Well, now that you can take that turn in, that's really...
Yeah.
That's really fun.
The bus will disappear down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the state road, so they have to take care of that part.
Well, if there's nothing else to keep us from going home, I'll declare our meeting closed.
All right.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Okay. So I see in the paper our esteemed...
Good job.